The Mutineers of the Bounty by Jules Verne. Narration, Katie Haig. Chapter 1. Turned Adrift. Not a breath of wind, not a ripple on the surface of the ocean, not a cloud in the sky. The splendid constellations of the southern hemisphere shone with exquisite brilliancy. The Bounty lay motionless, with drooping sails, as the night wore on, and the moon, turning pale at the approach of dawn, filled the air with dim and uncertain light. The Bounty, a vessel of 215 tons burden, manned by a crew of 46, had left Spithead on the 23rd of December, 1787, under the command of Captain Bligh, a rough but experienced seaman who had accompanied Captain Cook on his last voyage of discovery. The special object of this voyage of the Bounty was to obtain plants of the breadfruit tree, which grows in profusion in the Tahitian archipelago, and then carry them to the Antilles. After remaining for 6 months in the Bay of Matavai, Captain Bligh, with a cargo of 1,000 breadfruit trees, set sail for the West Indies, stopping at the Friendly Islands for a short time. The suspicious and passionate character of the captain had repeatedly occasioned disagreeable scenes between him and his officers, but, when the sun rose on the morning of the 28th of April, 1789, the perfect tranquillity which prevailed on board the Bounty was disturbed by no token of the serious events about to take place. By and by, the apparent tranquillity was broken by unwanted animation among the crew. The seamen met, exchanged two or three words in whispers, and then separated quietly. What could be going on?
"Above all things, make no noise, friends," said Fletcher Christian, the second officer of the Bounty. "Load your pistol, Bob, but do not fire till I give the word. Churchill, take a hatchet to burst open the lock of the captain's cabin door, and mark me, I must have him alive."
Followed by a dozen seamen, armed with sabres, cutlasses and pistols, Christian glided between decks, where he placed two sentinels before the cabins of Stewart and Peter Haywood, the one the boatswain, the other a midshipman of the Bounty, and then, passing on, he stopped at the captain's door.
"Come, lads," he cried, "one good shove all together."
The door yielded to their vigorous blows, and the seamen rushed into the cabin. Confused by the darkness, and perhaps reflecting on the serious nature of the step they had taken, they hesitated for a moment.
"Hello! What's the matter? Who dares?" exclaimed the captain, jumping out of his cot. "Silence, Captain Bligh," answered Churchill. "Silence, and do not attempt to resist, or I'll gag you." "You needn't trouble yourself to dress," added Bob. "You will cut quite a good enough figure as you are when you're dangling at the yard arm."
"Lash his hands behind his back, Churchill," said Christian, "and hoist him up on deck."
"The most tyrannical captains need be feared no longer when one knows how to set about dealing with them," remarked John Smith, the philosopher of the crew.
Then, without caring whether or not they awoke the rest of the crew, they returned on deck. It was a regular mutiny. Of the officers on board, besides Christian, Young alone, one of the midshipmen, had made common cause with the mutineers. As to the crew, those who hesitated at first had been obliged to give in, whilst the other officers, without arms and without a leader,